Acts chapter 16 and the verse 14. Acts chapter 16 and the verse 14. And it says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And we've been following the theme of prayer through this book of the Acts of the Apostles. And this account in verse 14 comes in the context of a prayer meeting. In verse 13, on the Sabbath, he went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And at this prayer meeting, the heart of a lady was opened. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come around his word. Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer, please. Our gracious Father, we do thank thee, Lord, that thou art a God of great power. We thank thee, Lord, that thy hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is thy ear heavy that it cannot hear. And we thank thee, Lord, that the God who spoke to that lady all of those years ago is still able to and still is speaking to hearts today and opening hearts. Pray that that will be so in this gathering through the witness of this congregation. Oh Lord, we pray for the opening of hearts. Oh Lord, we pray that help would be granted to us today as we come to thy word. Give that mighty help of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The conversion of Lydia marked a very significant step forward in the advancement of the work of God. Paul and Silas, along with Timothy and Luke, had come to Macedonia. That day, as these missionaries saw the conversion of Lydia, it marked a very significant event, and this is the first recorded convert on European soil. Paul and his team had been in Philippi for a number of days, and there's no record of them having any fruit during those days. It speaks of how they were abiding there certain days. And when it came to the Sabbath, it normally was Paul's practice in going to a new city that he would go to the synagogue, that he would search out the Jews and bring to them first the gospel. That, of course, was following that principle of the gospel to the Jew first. But in Philippi, there was no synagogue. And for there to be a synagogue, there had to be 10 men. And obviously that criteria had not been met. But there were a group of Jewish women who met by the riverside each Jewish Sabbath day to pray. These were very devout ladies, very sincere ladies. That's evident by the language that's used to describe Lydia, that she was one who worshipped God. And even though she had that closed heart, yet she worshipped according to the knowledge that she had at that particular time. Now, Lydia was not originally from Philippi. She had only come there on account of business. She was a seller of purple clothing. She came from Thyatira in Asia Minor. And the purple dye of Thyatira was famous throughout the then known world. And so for an entrepreneurial lady like Lydia, she could certainly be very successful in business in some other places. She would seek to sell that particular material. It's likely that Lydia had first come into contact with the Word of God in Thyatira, for there was there a large Jewish community, and she may well have been then what we refer to as a Jewish proselyte, that she had come from heathenism, she had converted to Judaism, but she did not yet know Jesus Christ. Though she was living far away from her homeland, and far away from that synagogue where she likely had once frequented. When she was far from home, she didn't abandon the things of God. She still kept a day unto the Lord. She was still keen to be in the company of like-minded believers. And that surely is very significant for us today. Some Christians, when they go on holiday, they abandon the things of God. They have no desire to be in God's house or to keep a day unto the Lord. But such was not the conduct of this lady, Lydia. So here each Sabbath, each Jewish Sabbath, these devout ladies would meet for prayer. It's very likely that as they met, they were longing for the coming of the Messiah. And for that surely was the longing of the devout Jews. They were trying surely to understand the Old Testament scriptures. And yet up to this point, their hearts were closed. And included in that number then was this lady, Lydia. But most wonderfully, that day as Paul preached to these ladies, he drew near to them. He sat down beside them. And as he lovingly ministered to them, the heart of this lady, Lydia, was opened. And so when she set out to go to that prayer meeting that day, though she set out to pray and worship God, she went with a closed heart. But praise God, that day, as she sat by that riverside, the Lord opened her heart in that prayer meeting. It's very interesting if you read through accounts of revival. This type of scene was repeated in times of revival. In the Ulster Revival of 1859, many were converted in the prayer meetings. And while people had met to pray for the preaching of the gospel, many were convicted even in the prayer meetings themselves and converted. The same is true concerning moves of God that have taken place in China, in Korea. God's people met to pray and the Lord moved in the prayer meeting. And people's hearts were opened in the prayer meeting. And so this is not limited to the experience of Lydia. But want to look then here at a heart opened at a prayer meeting. I want to consider first of all the Lord's pursuit to open this heart. The Lord's pursuit to open this heart. For during this second missionary journey of Paul, there was a period of time when it was not apparent to him what his next step was to be. There was a period of time where there was uncertainty as to where he was to go and preach. And so in verse 6 it speaks of how he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia Minor. He had tried to go into that district, and yet the Holy Spirit was forbidding the preaching there. He tried to go to Bithynia, which was an area to the north of Asia Minor. And again, according to verse 7, he wasn't able. The Spirit suffered them not. The Holy Spirit did not permit them to go into that region. And so the Holy Spirit was closing doors. And I'm sure that must have caused some difficulty in the mind of Paul. Here, I am seeking to go and preach the gospel to teeming multitudes. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, you're not to go there at this particular time. But then one night, as he had laid down to sleep, the Lord's answer came. There was this vision in the night. And a man stood saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And the word help there is actually that word that I mentioned last Lord's Day. Draw alongside us. Come over to Macedonia and support us. Draw alongside us. Succor us. And we discover then who it was that had spoken in that dream. In verse 10, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. The Lord then had spoken in that particular vision, and the Lord had opened up a door into Europe. And as they went into Macedonia then, which is not the same landmass that we have been hearing about in the news over the last few days, this Macedonia was at the south of that particular region. That's actually part of the controversy over that issue that you've been hearing about in the news. But this area then, Macedonia lying to the south, as Paul and his team went there, they went to two cities, and then they came to Philippi. And as they came to Philippi, I'm sure there must be multitudes there, but the Lord directed them to this one small gathering. And then out of that company of people, the only one that we read of is Lydia. I wonder if you ever gone on your computer and gone onto Google Maps and you've taken a satellite view, maybe of Australia, and then you've focused it narrower on Western Australia, then on Perth, and then down to the area around your suburb, and then to your street, then to your house. Really, that's what's happening here in this particular scene. We have the whole region of that Mediterranean. And Paul had this desire to go into Asia Minor, into Bithynia. But then the focus instead is on Macedonia. Then the focus is on Philippi. Then it's on this small group by the river. And then on this one lady, Lydia. You see, if you think about those verses that we have previous to this account of Lydia, the verses 7 and 8, where, 6 and 7 rather, where Paul attempted to preach in various places and he couldn't. He was attempting to go into the region where Philippi lay. Why had the Lord closed the door? Well, surely here is one reason. The Lord had closed the door because the lady the Lord wanted to reach wasn't in Thyatira. Sorry, Thyatira was in the area of Asia Minor. The lady the Lord wanted to reach wasn't at home in Thyatira. She was in Philippi. And therefore the missionaries must go to Europe. And so often in the Word of God we get the perspective of the Lord interested in multitudes. And that is true. Yet so often we get examples of this, where the Lord was after the individual. And how that must warm the heart of the unbeliever, that the Lord is not only interested in the crowd, the Lord is interested in the individual. And as Paul could look at that whole map, there was one lady that the Lord was interested in touching. And that was this lady, Lydia. And so to Philippi then, they must go. Now, Lydia was certainly a very religious lady, a very devout lady. But the Lord knew her heart. The Lord knew that her heart was closed. And here we see the grace of God then in pursuing this sinner. Now, you think of the events that followed later as Lydia's heart was opened, as she was converted. And she invited then these men to come into abide in her home. Imagine as they sat down and they began to talk to each other about previous days, and these brethren would speak of the Lord's leading and directing, how they desired to go into Asia Minor, into Bithynia, but the Lord directed them this way. And they could say to Lydia, "You're the first convert." How she must have been amazed that the Lord had taken such an interest in her. But that's what the Lord does. The Lord takes an interest in the souls of individuals. Now it's clear that Lydia could not open her own heart. The Lord had to open her heart. The Word of God makes that absolutely clear. The heart is deceitful, Jeremiah said, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And since the heart is deceitful, it will have to be the Lord that opens up that heart. Romans 3 verse 11, Paul said, "There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. And the heart in its natural state has no desire to come to God on God's terms. The heart is intent on going its own way. Our Lord Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." There will be nobody converted unless the Lord draws that soul to himself. There will be no heart opened unless the Lord opens it. The great message of the gospel then is that sinners are effectively drawn as the Holy Spirit opens hearts. Hearts that are stubbornly shut, it's the Lord that is able to open them. Remember how Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And to go out and to preach to the multitudes at times it seems like it's just a waste of time. Who is going to believe? The problem that we face is that of themselves they can't. "Who hath believed our report?" Isaiah said, "He shall grow up before them as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." And that's how the ungodly would think of Jesus Christ and the message of him. It's just like a root sticking out of the dry dust. There's no attraction for the ungodly in the things of Jesus Christ. And perhaps as Paul preached that day, that's how the message that he preached continued to be for the others in the meeting. To them, the message of Paul was just like preaching about a root out of a dry ground. But not for Lydia. The Lord opened her heart and she saw not only her guilt that day, she saw not only her need of salvation, but she saw the provision in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Here we have the Lord's pursuit to open this heart. But I want to see then, secondly, the apostles preaching, yearning for an opened heart. The apostles preaching, yearning for an opened heart. Because as Paul came to Philippi that day and as he preached Jesus Christ, Paul knew those words of Jesus Christ that no man can come to the Lord except the Father draw him. Paul knew that scripture, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He knew also that all that the Father has given to the Son will come to him. And Paul then, as he recognized his inability to open the hearts of any of those ladies, was not hindered in his preaching. He was not kept from preaching Christ. I mention that because there are some that, as they hear the doctrines of grace, they see that as a hindrance to evangelism. And they will say to us, "If you believe that to be true, then why would you ever go out to preach?" It's because I believe it to be true that I do go to preach. It's because I believe that the Lord does open the heart that I have confidence that the Lord will do it. And that there will be success in the preaching of the Word of God. And so then, as Paul preached, I believe that day he preached with fervor. He preached with a desire that a heart would be touched. But all the time he recognized, I can't open the heart. Did you read what it says in verse 14? A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. She heard the preaching. Then, whose heart the Lord opened. And then, she attended on to the things which were spoken of Paul. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And there, as she heard the preaching, the Lord opened her heart, and then she attended. That is, she obeyed. She heeded. She heeded the word, and she obeyed the command that was being given. Paul was being faithful. I'm sure this sermon must have been something like the sermon of the Lord in the Emmaus Road. He would have spoken of Jesus Christ in all the Old Testament scriptures. You're waiting for the Christ. He has come. and he would prove to them that Jesus was the promised Christ. But it was not just an intellectual lecture. As he preached, he was commanding them to repent and to believe. There was a challenge, and that's evident in that word. She attended. She obeyed the commands that were being brought in that preaching. And so though Paul did not know if any of the Lord's chosen were in that number, that did not hinder him presenting the gospel. It's what we call the free offer of the gospel. And we don't know those whose hearts the Lord will touch, but we preach to all. We're to preach with fervor. We're to preach with that heart for the ungodly. And the Lord took this word and brought it effectively to that lady's heart. And as you seek to witness for the Lord today, you can take great encouragement from this scene. Perhaps as you've been witnessing to someone, you have understood their heart is so hard. I can't seem to get through. And you're right. But you see here, the great truth of God's word is, it's the Lord that can open the heart. Isn't that what the Lord spoke about to Nicodemus? Remember how the Lord said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And Jesus Christ there was explaining what the new birth is, what it is to be born again, or in the Greek, what it is to be born from above. A man must be born of water and the Spirit. What is the water? The Church of Rome says that it is the water of baptism. And we know, of course, that is not the case. The water of baptism cannot save. What is the water? When it says there that a man must be born of water and of the Spirit, the water is the Word of God. Remember how in Ephesians 5:25 it says, "Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it." What's the water that the Lord uses to sanctify and cleanse the church? The washing of the water by the Word. The Word is the water. Paul spoke of the washing of regeneration in Titus 3:5. Again, it's the Word that is in view. And so the Holy Spirit then takes the Word that is preached and applies it effectively to that heart, and the soul then is born again by the water and the Word, born from above. Lydia had come to that meeting in darkness. Now, she knew some of the truth. She knew much of the Old Testament, but yet she was in darkness as far as salvation was concerned. And she was... her heart was like that darkness that pervaded at the very beginning of creation. Remember how it says in Genesis 1, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:6 that that's like the heart of the sinner. 2 Corinthians 4:6, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And the sinner then sits in that pervading darkness. What did God do in the first day of creation? God spoke. God said, "Let there be light," and the darkness could not stop it. And you see then, as the sinner sits in darkness, he sits in spiritual ignorance, unbelief. The devil seeks to keep him so. But when the Lord says, "Let there be light," it will surely shine. When the Lord says, "Let that heart be opened," it will surely be opened. This was certainly a great miracle, a miracle of God's grace. This word "opened" is a word that's used in Mark chapter 7 to describe the miracle of the opening of the ears of one that was deaf. Here was a heart that was closed. The Lord miraculously opened it. If you sit in this meeting today still unconverted, Perhaps you sit here unconcerned about your soul, unconcerned about the state of your heart, unconcerned about your eternal destiny. You today ought to be brought into consternation that here you sit in the darkness of your heart, in the darkness of sin, and the only one that can deal with your stubbornness is the Lord Himself. You ought to be crying out to the Lord, do for me what you did for Lydia. Bring to me concern where there is no concern. The fact that you sit so unconcerned, untroubled, that in itself ought to cause consternation. Praise God, the Lord is able to come and to stir up your heart. The Lord's pursuit to open this heart. The apostles preaching, yearning for an opened heart. And then I want to see, finally, the evident productivity from an opened heart. This lady, Lydia, she met these preachers by the riverside. And as she met them by the riverside, I think we could describe her as a Psalm 1 Christian. And what is a Psalm 1 Christian? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And here was a lady, she was saved by the river. She became a great demonstration of that great truth. A Christian that is meditating in the law of God, he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A fruitful tree. And there's much evidence of a fruit in the life of this lady. I'll just point these things out briefly. The manifestation of her opened heart was in her profession of faith. Her heart was opened. The fact that she professed as she did was the evidence, the manifestation, the fruit of an opened heart. Then was her desire to be baptized. Verse 15, it says, and when she was baptized and her household, baptism is the sign of the covenant. And here was she was declaring, I have been brought into the family of God. I am now a partaker of those great gospel promises. Therefore, the sign of the covenant, baptism, was administered to her. And here then was this testimony that she had been washed, cleansed by the work of Jesus Christ. The baptism then was an outer sign of that great inward washing. The fact that she desired baptism was an evidence of fruit in her life. There was the manifestation of her own profession, the manifestation of her desire to be baptized, and there was the manifestation of her opened home. In verse 15, when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And so it wasn't one of those invitations, if you would like to come round, you can, hoping that they would say no. She constrained them. She insisted that they would come. And it wasn't just to come for a meal. Notice that word, abide. And going by the words in the next verse, it came to pass as we went to prayer. And surely what that is indicating is that they went to prayer from Lydia's house. For a time then, Lydia's house became the base for this church. Over coming weeks, we'll come to see others that were saved in Philippi, the demon-possessed girl, the jailer. And that great nucleus then began in this home of this lady, Lydia. Perhaps not only just the formation of this church in Philippi, but it may well be the Lord used Lydia to establish the work in Thyatira as well. Remember how there was a church there? We read about that in the letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And so here was a lady, her heart was opened. And as her heart was opened, there was that generosity to God's people. She had a heart for God's people, a desire to be in fellowship with God's people, a desire to be an encouragement to God's people, a desire to learn from other of God's people. These are all evidences of fruit in the life of this dear lady. She was indeed like a tree planted by a river of water. This lady was converted, and truly so. There was the evidence of grace in her life. And when the Lord truly opens a heart, there will be the evidence. There will be the change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This lady surely saw not only her own heart open, but the hearts of others in her family. It speaks there of her household being baptized. There were others that lived with her, were brought to faith in Jesus Christ. It is our desire that not only that you would be converted, but your loved ones would be brought to faith in Jesus Christ. And for those here without the Lord, what is your great duty? Your great duty, surely, as Paul emphasized to those ladies, is that today that you repent, that you believe. Paul preached Christ. He is the one that fulfills all those prophecies of the Old Testament. He is the one that came and stood in the sinner's place and took the wrath that was the sinner's due. And today the command of the gospel to you is, repent and come to the one that so loved a sinner like you that he would die in the place of that sinner. May you flee from wrath and come to Jesus Christ. That day as Lydia came, she had that great provision given to her. As she met by the river, she was prepared for another great meeting. By a river. Remember how in Revelation 22 it speaks there of a river that flows from the throne of God and the Lamb. And literally that day as she met with the Lamb of God by the riverside, she was prepared for a greater day, a greater meeting, when she would be before the throne, before the Lamb. She would see all the beauty of her Savior. Praise God for those in our number then whose hearts have been opened. We're prepared for that day. May we live with great anticipation for it. We trust the Lord will take his word today and bless it to all of our hearts.